I read the other day about an older couple that had trouble remembering the simple everyday things. And so together they agreed that they would write down any request that one had of the other. And in that way they would try to avoid forgetting things. One evening the wife asked the husband if he would like anything, and he replied, "Well, yes, I would. I'd like you to fix me a large ice cream sundae with chocolate ice cream and whipped cream and a cherry on top." The wife started off for the kitchen, and the husband said, "Well, aren't you going to write it down?" She said, "Don't be silly. I'm going to fix it right now. I won't forget." Well, she was gone a long time. And when she finally returned, she set down in front of him a large plate of hash brown potatoes, eggs and bacon, and a glass of orange juice. He took one look at it and said, "I knew you should have written it down. You forgot the toast." Now, in defense of older people everywhere, it's not just old folks who forget things. Indeed, young people and old people and people from all walks of life have memory problems from time to time. But the truth is, however, that most people, regardless of their age, will remember the things that are important to them. The things that have priority in their lives. And here in our scripture this morning, God is calling his people to give priority to the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Sabbath is translated as rest. It comes from the verb that means to desist from one's labor. And in Exodus 31:17, God reminds Moses that in 6 days he made the heaven and the earth. And on the seventh day he rested, but then we are told on the day that God rested, he was refreshed. And the word refreshed means to breathe. The Sabbath was and is a God-given opportunity to catch one's breath in the midst of our busy lives. But it is more than that. It is not just a day of rest. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The word remember is a car. It means to take thought of. It means to be mindful of. The Hebrew word includes both thought and action. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember to keep it. By keeping it holy. And when you do that, when you keep the Sabbath day holy, you will remember and act accordingly that this day is different from other days, that it is a special day set aside for God to draw near, to worship him, to bow down before him and declare that he alone is worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And together with that, when you remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, you will remember what God has done for you. How he loved you. Gave his son to redeem you from your sins. And when you remember to keep the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord, you will remember who you are. Simon Peter tells us, a chosen people, a holy nation, God's own people, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Where else in the world are you going to remember that? If not in this experience of worship on the Lord's Day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, determined to make this day a priority in your life. And yet, sadly, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, is not a priority for most Americans today. Did you know that 40% of people in America today consider themselves very religious? 65% consider themselves, would describe themselves as Christians. Yet only 1/5 of Americans attend church on a weekly basis. I'm afraid that the Lord's Day is fast becoming a lost day across our land, even for the people of God. And men are losing this day through indifference. Indifference to the Word of God that calls us to keep the Sabbath, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we are losing this day by excusing it away. And I must tell you, I am so tired of those old, worn-out excuses that people use today and have been using for years to excuse their absence from worship on the Lord's Day. Here's the truth about those excuses. If you really want to do something, you will find a way. If you don't, you will find an excuse. And men are losing this day through misuse. That is to say, they are giving priority to other things, to lesser things. For some people, the God of golf has a priority in their lives. I live on a golf course, and by 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, the parking lot is almost filled up. Of course, I have heard God's name mentioned out there on the golf course. But not in a way that shows any respect or reverence for God. However, the God that is worshipped most fervently in America today is the God of football. Hundreds of thousands of people sing His praises every week, every weekend in our nation. In fact, when it looked like the college football season was going to be canceled because of the pandemic, the fans were up in arms saying that canceling the upcoming NCAA football season would infringe on their God-given right to worship how they choose. I'm not kidding. One Alabama fan expressed it this way: you can cancel church, but don't take away college football. It's my constitutional right to worship Bama. The founders say I can worship in any way I choose, and for me, it's painting my face crimson and screaming at the top of my lungs every Saturday. He went on to say that I have the right to worship any God I want, any way I want, and my God is Bama, praise Jesus, and Roll Tide, but mostly Roll Tide. Well, you know, that just might be the best argument I've ever heard against higher education. It's certainly the best argument I've ever heard against young people consuming alcohol. In any event, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, is fast becoming a lost day in America, and I submit to you that when we lose the Sabbath, the Lord's day, we will also lose being to one another what we need to be in the life of the church. The writer of Hebrews tells us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more, as you see the day approaching, to encourage one another is to stand by one another, to lift up one another, to enable one another to stay the course in our walk with Christ. Arthur Max Lucado tells of discovering the importance of healthy encouragement. He was in a half Ironman triathlon. And he says that after the 1.2-mile swim, the 56-mile bike ride, that he didn't have a whole lot of energy left for the 13.1-mile run. And he said, neither did the fella beside me. He said, I turned to him as we were running along and asked how he was doing. Lucado said, I soon regretted asking him that question. This stinks, said the man. This race is the dumbest decision I've ever made. And Lucado said my response to him was goodbye, because I knew if I listened to him much longer, I'd start agreeing with him. He said, I eventually caught up with a 66-year-old grandmother. Her tone was the opposite. You'll finish this, she encourages. It's hot, but at least it's not raining. One step at a time. Don't forget to hydrate. Stay in there. He said, I ran next to her for as long as I could until I had to slow down. He said she waved as she kept on going, but so did Lucado. The Apostle Paul knew about the value of encouragement. We all know that passage in 2 Timothy where Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Well, I want you to know that Paul didn't do that on his own. He did it in relationship to and in fellowship with other believers who loved Paul and stood by him and prayed for him and encouraged him in the Lord. That's how Paul finished. It is said that the giant redwood trees of the western United States have a relatively shallow root system. The enormous weight, we are told, is supported in part by the interlocking of a tree's roots with those of the other trees around it. And he went on to say, as Christians, we need interlocking roots with other believers in the church to withstand the enormous weight of life. We need others spurring us onward toward love and good deeds in a world so bent on self-centeredness and self-gratification. Thomas R. Kelly expressed it this way: we know that these souls are with us, lifting their lives and ours continuously to God, opening themselves with us in steady, humble obedience to Him. It is as if the boundaries of ourself were enlarged, as if we were within them, and as if they were within us. Their strength, given to them by God, becomes our strength, and our joy, given to us by God, becomes their joy. And I submit to you that when we lose the Sabbath, the Lord's day, you will lose becoming the man, the woman in Christ that God wants you to be. There's an inward spiritual dimension to worship in the church on the Lord's day. At its deepest level, worship takes place in the heart, and it shapes us and molds us and grows us from the inside out. And I can tell you this, I've never known a strong Christian, strong in the faith, growing in the Lord, apart from the church and the worship of God. The Apostle Paul declared, I want to know Him that is Christ, and I want to know His resurrection power in my life. That did not happen for Paul, and it will not happen for you apart from the church and the worship of God on the Lord's day. And together with that, when we lose the Sabbath, the Lord's day, by and by, listen to me, when we lose the Sabbath and the worship of God on the Lord's day, by and by, we will lose our way as a child of God. The writer of Hebrews called upon God's people to persevere so that when they have done the will of God, they will receive what God has promised. And how and where does one persevere? Well, I want you to know that the world's not going to help you with that. The world will only rob you of all that is good and all that is holy and leave you empty inside. In his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul encouraged God's people to stand firm, to hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you. And where does one find the strength to stand firm and to hold fast in the Lord? Well, you won't find it out there in the world. The world will only deceive you and weaken you and defeat you in the Christian life. In one of his devotional books, Charles Allen tells us that on a plaque at Florida's Singing Tower, you can read these words: I come here to find myself. It's so easy to get lost in the world. And if someone were to ask me why the church, why the worship of God on the Lord's day, I would answer you the very same way: because it's so easy to get lost in this world. Yes, it is. And you know it is. In his commentary on the book of Exodus, Maxie Dunham tells us that during the days of the gold rush, a young man and his bride set out across the country to make their fortunes. Somewhere along the way, they drank some contaminated water, and the young bride became ill and died before they reached Fort Kearney in Nebraska. Heartbroken, the young man took her body to the highest hill and buried it, using the wagon bed to make a coffin. He drove down some wooden stakes to mark the grave, thinking that he would go on west and later come back. But the more that he thought about it, the more he was certain that he couldn't go on. He said to himself, "I'll forget where this is. I will never remember it." So he traced his steps all the way to St. Louis, Missouri. He found a stone cutter and had him prepare a tombstone engraved with the name Susan Hale, along with the date of her birth and the date of her death. He tried vainly to get someone to haul it back for him, but all the wagons going west were already overloaded and no one would help him. And finally, he bought a wheelbarrow, put the stone in it, and walked those weary miles back to Fort Kearney and set the stone up on her grave. "It's a tender story," said Dunham. "But the man knew that there was something he must never forget. Here was a sacred spot on earth, and he must always remember where it is." So it is for the people of God, for you and for me. Here is something we must never forget. This place, this day, is a sacred spot on earth. May we always remember where it is, to keep it holy, to claim the blessing God has for us in the gift of this day. And during this time of prayer and meditation, would you make your commitment to the Lord and renew that commitment as we pray together?